For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, with the latest readout video from our free Wednesday wake-up newsletter, to which, as always, you should subscribe if you don't already, and send us a one-time or monthly contribution if you haven't already, and then a shalom to viewers in Israel, who've made it number 29 on our all-time list of views by jurisdiction. And then a sneer at those everywhere who allow the words of their mouths to be a strong wind on the subject of hurricanes. Because the year 2025 has actually been very quiet thus far on that front, somehow leading climate alarmists to say, told you so, look at all the storms. Like Euronews Green with its quote, Hurricane Erin's rapid intensification and what it means for Europe's weather. The storm's rapid intensification has been linked to unusually warm ocean waters made more likely by climate change, end quote. Now, a real journalist might instead have pondered what Hurricane Erin became the first Atlantic hurricane of the 2025 season so late on Friday, 15th of August, end quote, meant for Europe's weather. But no. We're doing attribution science here, not the observational kind. The Associated Press likewise tried to sow panic over a mid-strength hurricane, quote, unlikely to make landfall along the east coast before turning farther out to sea, end quote, by saying it might cause waves. And after a lot of nothing, except some idiots swimming in stormy seas and needing to get rescued and getting rescued, it blared, quote, climate scientists say Atlantic hurricanes are now much more likely to rapidly intensify into powerful and catastrophic storms fueled by warmer oceans, end quote. Yeah? Then why don't they? Even the Epoch Times peddled a who are you going to believe, mirror your own eyes line, quote, the 2025 hurricane season is forecast to be unusually active, end quote. And they printed it at a point in the year when reporters in particular might be interested in what actually did happen, not what someone wrongly said was going to happen. Or didn't say. Because, quote, earlier this month, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, updated its outlook, projecting 13 to 18 named storms with winds of at least 39 miles per hour, of which 5 to 9 could become hurricanes, 74 miles per hour or higher, including 2 to 5 that could reach major status, 111 miles per hour or higher. In the Atlantic Basin, a typical hurricane season will yield 14 named storms, of which 7 become hurricanes and 3 become major hurricanes, the NOAA said, end quote. So, the predictions they made are right in the mid-range. Yet media report a predicted unusually active season before it doesn't happen, and then say it did after it doesn't. Ah, and from the How Can We Miss You When You Won't Go Away file, a Daily Mail story inflicted former Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's habitual smirk on us through a cloud of carbon hypocrisy. On Instagram, continuing to drag his kids into the public eye after pleading for the press to respect their privacy, quote, third of the kid trips this summer, Italy with Ella Grace. Loved exploring Rome, Siena, Florence, and Lake Como with her, end quote. The other trips were to Switzerland, quote, for some mountaineering, hike, Via Ferrata-ing, and more melted cheese than anyone should safely eat, end quote, and to British Columbia, which at least is in Canada. Yes, that's the same Justin Trudeau who so recently hectored us relentlessly about our grubby carbon footprints. Which is especially hard to wince and then ignore, because his successor seemed just as devoted to flying about denouncing carbon, often on pretexts as flimsy as they are self-important. Even the Financial Post recently ran a lickspittle headline, quote, in Warsaw, Carney deepens Canada defense trade ties with Poland, end quote, over equally obsequious text resembling a government press release that started, quote, Prime Minister Mark Carney is striking a new strategic partnership with Poland that will see Canada deepen its ties in trade, defense, and energy with the fast-growing European economy, end quote. Look, I don't want to be rude, but Canada trades with Poland modestly, because we're both countries. We don't do it because politicians go and grip it and grin. As for defense, Canada has no military, and we're bungling the energy file through a queasy combination of inertia and zealotry while investment flees Canada. Nevertheless, Carney is flying about sounding good, at least to himself. And so are his ministers, from Europe to South America to South Africa. But you, on the other hand, shouldn't even take a road trip to Kapuskasing. Amazingly, Canada's state broadcaster, beneficiary of lavish aid from Trudeau when he was in power and lavish promises from Carney, recently ran a Fido Ate My Climate story about a survey revealing what idiots people are about their own carbon footprint that included, quote, "The top three individual actions that help the climate, including avoiding plane flights, choosing not to get a dog, and using renewable energy, were also the three that participants underestimated the most," end quote. But surely not the current or ex-prime minister. They must know that flying is verboten unless you're special. Unfortunately, they also know they are. Then, from the talk is cheap, or maybe not, file, the National Post reports that, quote, "Chef Daniel Hum made history when he reopened New York City's 11 Madison Park, EMP, with an entirely meatless menu in 2021. It became the world's first three Michelin-starred vegan restaurant the following year. After making the switch as a creative leap and a climate imperative, Hum announced on Wednesday that he's bringing meat back to the menu, telling the New York Times, 'I didn't realize that we would exclude people,' end quote." Yeah. Paying people. When you're selling food for about $365 a meal, which some people might consider excluding others, you find swallowing your own posturing remarkably easy, it seems. But we beg to differ. Also, from the Weather vs. Climate file, the Cornwall Alliance notes an item from BizPack Review about, quote, "a bone-chilling cold wave," end quote, in South America in July, which is, of course, their winter, quote, "plunging nations like Argentina, Chile, and Uruguay into an energy crisis which laid bare the fragility of their power systems," end quote. And yes, records were broken. Just not the kind that involve climate, if you believe the media. Quote, "Snow blanketed Mar del Plata, Argentina for the first time in 34 years, while the Atacama Desert, the world's driest region, saw rare snowfall. Buenos Aires shivered at minus 1.9 degrees Celsius, the city's coldest since 1991. Suburbs like El Palomar dropped to minus 7.4 degrees Celsius for the first time in decades. On June 30th, Chile and Argentina ranked among the planet's coldest spots outside polar regions," end quote. So, did you see one word of it in your local paper or local TV station? One word. Oh, and as we noted last week, the Canadian government is thrashing on the green energy transition, trying to boost productivity and good governance after a decade of neglect in favor of exotic woke causes while pursuing exotic woke causes. Including, now, Rebel News informs us that of the vaunted $8 billion boost to good old defense spending, fully $4.2 billion is to decarbonize the military. Not to buy weapons, not to pay soldiers more, or to become more formidable. Instead, to spend $472 per ton of carbon eliminated, far above any rational estimate of the social cost of carbon, on a failed effort to green tanks that we don't even have, or something. And now, in pursuit of serious, practical, and effective policies on climate, we turn to China. We never tire of that old gag. But an amazing number of people don't even think it's a joke. Scientific communism, for instance, gushes, quote, "solar panels, wind turbines, a hydrogen energy system, and lithium-ion batteries are powering China's newest polar research station," end quote. But when China deliberately subsidizes Western climate activists to try to cripple our economies and the defense capabilities that depend on prosperity, while itself roaring ahead with coal plants, and yes, China now accounts for 56% of total world coal output, that's right, more than everyone else combined, it's no longer a laughing matter. Though it does have a punchline, which is those polar research stations depend on diesel backup. And another silly thing. To our astonishment, shortly before we went on vacation, MSN shared a story from News 18 that, quote, "scientists create a living material that sucks carbon dioxide from the air," end quote. And we were going to put it in our say what box with the retort, "oh yes, and did they call it wood?" But then it dawned on us that for a reporter not to realize that plants already absorb CO2 with unsurpassed efficiency showed a scary lack of understanding by precisely the people paid to inform the public. In the newsletter, we also note, on the ongoing subject of the mysterious green lash against condescending coercive policies that wreck economies without fixing the weather, that back in early July, Tom Nelson pointed out on X that, quote, the EU Commission account, with 1.8 million followers, claims that Europeans want strong climate action and gets 40 likes in 10 hours, end quote. As we ourselves argued in late July, there was a large hidden danger to climate alarmists in their apparent triumph in capturing the commanding heights of our society, from academia to entertainment to politics to the media. And that danger was that they don't know what people outside their echo chamber are saying, let alone why they're saying it, and they assume the public is with them because many people have been intimidated into silence, only to start erupting as their power bills skyrocket and, be it noted, emissions totally fail to decline. So just imagine what alarmists would say to this kind of statement. Quote, we can move towards a sustainable, energy-independent future if we harness all of America's great natural resources. That means an all-of-the-above approach to developing America's many energy resources, including wind, solar, biofuels, geothermal, hydropower, nuclear, oil, clean coal, and natural gas, end quote. What MAGA wretch wrote that, they might cry. But in fact, it's a quotation, courtesy of Roy Teixeira over at the Liberal Patriot, from, oh my, Barack Obama's 2012 re-election platform. So it's not the public that changed. In the newsletter, we then continue our Have It Both Ways series with an item on global warming and Great Lakes snowfall. As you know, when a winter comes and goes with minimal snow cover, the usual experts furrow their brows and tell us it's just what they expected due to climate change. Heat melts snow. Duh. Then next year, Jack Frost wallops us, and the same experts furrow their brows and explain that it's just what they expected due to climate change. A warming Arctic destabilizes the polar vortex and pushes cold air south. Duh. And they're right, in the limited and unsatisfactory sense that they did predict both, and neither, because in climate science, you can have it both ways. Global warming means less snow is coming to the Great Lakes region, while on the other hand, global warming means more snow is coming to the Great Lakes region. QED. Then in the newsletter, we note that according to its publishers, a data set called MDAT, which stands for Emergency Events Database, so it's not even an acronym, lists, quote, data on the occurrence and impacts of over 26,000 mass disasters worldwide from 1900 to the present day, end quote. Which apparently makes it perfect for studying long-term trends. And even better, for the climate change crowd, is that, as the authors of a 2024 study noted, quote, there are very strong upward trends in the number of reported disasters, end quote. Except that they then add, in the very next sentence, quote, we show that these trends are strongly biased by progressively improving reporting, end quote. You see, prior to 2000, the reporting of small disasters that caused fewer than 100 deaths was hit and miss, though, of course, the big ones tended to get noticed and written down. And the authors of the recent study argue that once they adjust for the effect of this underreporting in previous years, the trends in disaster-related mortality go away. So, alarmists ignore it and use the data set anyway. For the Climate Discussion Nexus, I'm John Robson, and I know when there isn't a hurricane.